Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and salutations, friends and neighbors. This is Mudtoe Sasquatch here with my little show, Mudtoe at Midnight, here on the With Insights Radio Network, radio channel, excuse me, of the Blog Talk Radio Network. If I can inject a quick plug, you can check out the other programs that are on Blog Talk, on Blog Talk too, but on withinsightsradio.com, on the website, withinsightsradio.com. Our flagship show is Chief Iggy and David Two Crows, who are on every Monday at 6 p.m., I believe. They generally have a guest, and then they do some readings. There's a Tuesday morning lunch show. There's a Wednesday evening show that rotates. Different people do it at different times. There's a Friday afternoon show, Mark the Rabbit Hole, with our friend Mark Matheny, who is an astrologer by nature. And then there's this thing, Mudtoe at Midnight, occurring at midnight on Friday nights or Saturday mornings, depending on how you look at it. In any event, here I am, more than prepared for the clocks to fall back. My favorite day of the year, fall back, in which we could just not fall either way. I don't really see the reason for it anymore. But anyway, I will certainly do my civic duty and turn the clocks back. But I will be to all of my appointed tasks at the appropriate time in the coming weeks. I have a couple things I want to share with you this evening. The headline story is the ceremony I do. Please forgive me, I'm extremely tired tonight. I hear myself slurring, and I think I may actually fall asleep once or twice during the show. That has happened before, and as that's a very interesting result, so we'll see whether that happens or not. We have the ceremony for Facebook friends of mine who have passed away during the year. This is a ceremony with a long 2-year history, and the idea is just to let go of that energy that's tied up in that bond, that sort of electric bond with between myself and their Facebook page. That's in fact, no longer serves a purpose, and to release that energy, and hopefully that energy goes to the person along with my good thoughts and good wishes, and goes along to them to whatever their onward destination is. Last year, which was the first year, I had an old English teacher of mine from high school who had passed away. There was also my cousin Kevin. There was someone I was hooked up with through Chief Iggy, whom I never actually met, and he did a lot of he was a tour guide. He did a lot of tours to energetic places, you know, places with a spiritual significance. And unfortunately, I never met him, but he was a very well-respected person. And who have I left out? Chetty. How could I forget Chetty? Chuck was a guy I used to sing karaoke with at Chief Iggy's restaurant. And then he moved on, and he found himself with the local chapter of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, going out there once a month at midnight on a Saturday night and dressing up in a costume and moving along with the motion on the screen. And he most commonly did the part of Eddie, which is played by Meatloaf, and that's how he came to be known as Chetty. And he's like, it was fascinating because he's this 65-year-old man moving and dancing and living within this troupe of mostly 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and moved among that group of people as easily as he moved among, you know, our karaoke group, and as easily as I'm sure he moved along among any other group of people that he encountered. And he passed away very suddenly. So I had those four people that I was still connected with via Facebook, even though they had passed away, and I wasn't quite sure what to do about it. So some weeks beforehand, I was thinking about a Halloween show, and I didn't want to just do a Halloween show. So I thought I would do a sort of a tribute and then a ceremony for these four people, and then disconnect myself from their Facebook pages. And I did that. I thought it went pretty well. I was very satisfied with it. So I thought I'll just make this, you know, an annual thing. Hopefully I won't have too many people to do it for. It would be nice if I never had any, but of course that's not going to happen. But I was during the past year, I was connected with one person who passed away. But that one person was a humdinger. And it sets up all sorts of interesting conflicts. Because I didn't have any trouble severing those ties last year with those people, all of whom were important to me in some way, even the gentleman that I didn't actually know. He was certainly an important person. So, I mean, but even if you leave him out, the other three people to whom I was personally connected, I didn't have any problem severing. I mean, it's not really a tie if you think about it. It's just a connection to an electronic contrivance. It's just something that's out there in cyberspace. It's not even a real thing. It's something that happens to have their name and their picture on it. So it shouldn't be any problem for me to break my connection to it. And in fact, last year I did not. But for whatever reason, this year I'm having some difficulties. And I'll get back to that. I will tell you why, I promise, before the end of the show. But there's another story I want to make sure I get told about this past week. And kind of last week, if you were listening to the show last week, you'll get the lead in. Last week I was fighting very hard to not have the show become, you know, the whining mud toe show, which is what sometimes happens. I'm not exactly sure how successful I was. I think maybe I whined a little bit. Things not going the way I'd hope they go, and so on and so forth. Well, that sort of continued early into this past week, and I was visiting my parents, having some trouble with the vehicle that I'd started calling the Smashmobile, because my vehicle got smashed up in an accident last summer, and has been steadily deteriorating ever since. And I have no way to replace it. I finally reached a point where the hood would no longer latch, so we had to bungee it shut, we meaning myself and my father. During while all this was going on, I was at home a couple of back-to-back afternoons with my parents, and I got the feeling that my parents are both in their 70s, I got the feeling that my mother was picking on my father. Now, my father is a very self-reliant man, a man who is very proud to be what he was. He worked very hard. He worked long hours. He went, you know, there was a period of time where he was commuting 2 hours a day. He would do, you know, whatever he was called upon to do for 40 years, and then he was let go by the company he worked for. He was able to find a job with another place, but that only lasted a few years, and they let him go because he was having heart trouble and they didn't want him to jack up their medical insurance rates. So at the age of 63, 64, I guess close to the appointed time, but I think earlier than he had planned on and earlier than he really wanted it to happen, he was retired. And he's been retired for close to 15 years now, and he does not like it. He does not like it one little bit. Now, often he can keep himself occupied in the mornings Mom has paid for him to have a membership to a golf club, the club where they play golf, not the thing they play golf with. And he goes out there in the mornings, but this time of year, you know, with the weather being as it is, there's not always people out there who want to golf. So sometimes he just hangs around out there, and then when it becomes clear there isn't going to be anybody to play golf with, he turns around and comes home. Now, for the rest of the day, there generally isn't anything for him to do. Now, Mom will have to scare up some sort of chore for him to do. And he was always a man who, you know, when there was a problem, when there was something broken, he could take it apart and fix it. Now, maybe it wouldn't work exactly the same way it did before, but it would work. It would accomplish the task. So it was always there were always things for him to do in that regard. But now that he's gotten older, two things have happened. First thing is he's gotten older, which means, you know, his hands don't work as well. He's not quite as nimble a thinker as he was in the past. And also it's gotten harder. The things we have today are much harder to take apart and look at them. You can't, it's all electronics. You can't look at them and figure out how they work like you could with something, say, built in, a vacuum cleaner built in the 50s and 60s. You could take it apart and look at it and figure out how it worked and fix it. One made today, you need 17 manuals and a license and handling nuclear material and all that. It's not as easy to just fix things. I think that's intentional. I think the people who build things felt like they were maybe being cut out of the loop, cut out of the money to put a finer point on it, that was available for, fixing their stuff when it broke. If people could, I think cars are the same way. Car manufacturers figured out, or at least dealerships figured out that there was a coin to be made from fixing cars, and they weren't making it because they built the cars in such a way that it was fairly easy for people who were mechanically minded, and I'm not among those people, but there are a lot of people who can look at a mechanical thing and sort of parse it and diagnose it. That those people, whether they were professionals or hobbyists, whether they were charging money to fix the car or whether they were sitting at home fixing their car, that the manufacturers or the dealers felt that they wanted to get that money. They want the money, all the money outside the house, inside the house. So they started making their cars in such a way that they were very difficult for people to fix themselves. I know one sterling example in my Smashmobile, you had to take the container for the wiper washer fluid. If you wanted to get to the battery was underneath that. You had to unbolt the wiper washer fluid and take all that assembly out before you could get to the battery. I found that out one night in the cold and the snow, and that battery went dead. And the poor guy from the AAA had to stand out there and do that. And this new car, not a new car, a different car, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute, it has a battery underneath the back seat. And if you want to jump the car, there's like two places underneath the hood where you have to know where to put the jumper cables. So I think these things are getting, in a contrived way, things are becoming more and more difficult to take apart and repair in the traditional way, the way my father's used to. And it's frustrating for him. He feels, first of all, he's bored. He doesn't have anything to do. Second of all, I think he feels increasingly useless. And my thinking is, Mom might help, but she doesn't seem interested in that. She's just annoyed with him. She's annoyed with him for being bored and feeling useless. And she's annoyed at his attempts to find things to do because there isn't anything to do around the house. And what happened, she wanted him to clean the windows because there's going to be a party at the house this weekend. Somebody's getting baptized, so she asked Dad to clean the windows, and Dad thought evidently that he could do a better job of cleaning the windows if he would take them out of the frames then you know, you could have them right in front of him and then not have to, you know, be up on ladders and in corners and all that. Well, we lived in that house. It's the same house I grew up in. And over 40 years we've been in that house, and I doubt that those windows have ever been out of those frames in the 40 years we lived. Not the inside ones anyway, the storm windows have, but the inside windows, the ones Mom was concerned about, have probably not been out of those frames since we lived there. So Dad went to try and take those windows out of the frames, and of course he managed to break one of them, actually two of them. And I wanted to, my thought was, I just want to load up my car and go home. I do not want to be home when, you know, my mother, you know, comes home and sees that this has happened. But of course I was there when she came home, and she, I can't say she yelled at him. She did not yell at him, but, she was not kind to him. She was not kind to him. And I think, you know, now this is going to sound cruel on my part towards my mother, and perhaps it is, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mom and Dad got married. He was 19, she was 16. This is 1956. In a couple of months, they're going to have their 59th wedding anniversary, so almost 60 years. Let's just round it up to 60 years. Mom never worked outside of the house except to babysit some kids occasionally. Dad was the, I'd probably say, 95% plus bread earner. So he paid for our meals, and he paid for the houses we the rooms we slept under, and then the cars where we were transported. And my mother has derived the benefit of that care for 60 years. And now she can't spot him a couple of stupid windows. Now that he's old, now that he's feeling useless, now that he thought he had a good idea. Maybe it was a good idea. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't have taken it that far once I saw that I was having trouble getting the windows out of the frames. I think I probably would have stopped. But Dad didn't want to be defeated in that way. And she was not kind to him, and I became very angry. But I couldn't express my anger to her because she's my mother, and you're not allowed to express your anger to your mother. So utilizing some lame excuse, I did manage to load up the car and get out of there before I said anything. Well, that's the unhappy part. Now we're going to turn towards the happy part. The next night, I had a semi-bizarre dream where I received this, I call it an incantation, just a little tiny little song. It was a nonsense song. The words didn't make any sense. It was two lines, eight syllables each. And that song just got, after I woke up, that song was still stuck in my head. And I thought, okay, it wants something. So I just sang it. I just started singing it until I was sung out with it. You know, just didn't want to sing it anymore. And I was done with it. In the next 48 hours after I had sung that song, three things had happened. First, my mother, whom I had been so mad at, had decided to obtain for me a car to replace the Smashmobile. The second thing that happened was I received a call. I didn't think I was going to be working at my main gig at the university hospital this month. I was on the waiting list, but I hadn't gotten my name in quick enough, so I didn't get onto the actual, you know, I got a phone call saying someone had dropped out, and I was first on the waiting list, so would I mind working it? Okay, so there's, you know, $400 I wasn't expecting to have. So there was the car, there's the job, and then I got a call from my landlords. I had put in an application 3 months ago after I lost my job out at the testing center, asking them to reduce my rent because my income isn't anywhere what it used to be. And it had just sat there the way things do at government offices. Got a call from them out of the blue. We've approved your application. They reduced my rent, and they're giving me assistance for paying my utilities for the winter. Now, I am not going to sit here and tell you that that happened because I sang that little song. I'm just telling you that things are shitty. I had a dream, a little song in it, sang the song, and three really nice things happened. And I think that the juice, if it is actually is the song, I think the juice must be out of the song now because I can't remember it at all. The time when I sang, I probably sang it, must have sang it, repeated it 100 times when I was singing it on Wednesday morning. And I cannot remember one, I cannot remember a single syllable of it. I think there was an O in there somewhere. So again, I can't attribute anything that happened to the song. All I can say is that I'm grateful to Spirit for all of the various gifts I have received, no matter what their actual source might be. Now, that said, I think it was the song. But anyway, it's a strange thing, and strange things happen, and I'm learning slowly to accept the strange things that happen in life. We do have a very nice car. It's not a new car. It's a used car. It's 11 years old, but it's in very nice condition. And it's certainly much better than the Smashmobile I had. I drove it back to my apartment tonight. It drives very nicely. And I think I'll be very happy with it. Probably the only downside to it is it doesn't fit in very well with the other cars on the street in my neighborhood. It looks a little bit nicer than most of them, so hopefully that won't become an issue. But anyway, thanks for listening to that sort of crazy story. Now let me get back to the first story I was telling about sort of retirement of Facebook pages of friends who have passed away. This year I only had one friend who's passed away. Her name was Deb, and she was someone who was very kind to me. So there's a little bit of a juxtaposition there. I got my mother, someone psychologically I would associate with kindness, and who has in fact done a very, very great kindness for me very recently. Now I have this other person who was always very kind to me, always very kind to me. At a time when I would come in, this is during the period when Chief Hickey's restaurant was in full swing, and often I would come in and there would be people. There were a lot of people there who were friends of mine, and people maybe I thought of. I'll talk about women who maybe I thought of in other than friendly ways, and then they would find a boyfriend, and of course that would be those thoughts would be ended for me, and I would often spend the evening sitting in a corner or at the bar by myself. Feeling sorry for myself, basically. And if Deb was around, she would never have that. She would always come sit beside me, and we would talk. And it wasn't, come on, turn that frown upside down or anything like that. It was just talking about things that we were both interested in. And it made me happy that I could interact with someone on that sort of basis. And it made me happy that she cared enough to go out of her way, because that's always what I look for in a friend and in a girlfriend and in a lover, someone who would go out of their way to be with me. And I haven't found it all that often. And there are barriers. I'm not going to go into what they were. And they're probably mostly fake barriers, because most of my barriers are. But it never went anywhere other than friendship. She was a talented artist, talented musician. She did henna tattoos. She struggled with pain, with physical pain, all of her life. I'm not exactly sure what the pathology was there, what the actual issue was, but I know she had worked with Chief Iggy at one point, shamanistic stuff for her pain, and she tried a lot of other things. She had trouble working. I don't think in the last few years she worked at all. She wanted to work, but just couldn't stay with it. She was in too much pain. Last spring, her roommate found her in bed. She had passed away, and we don't really know. It was the exact reason she passed away was not shared with us by her family. We don't know what exactly went wrong, but it was, it was an incredible shock. No one was expecting it. She was not. We did not know that she was ill on that level. But she was someone who I could always count on. When I put up some sort of cryptic Facebook post, I could always count on her to make a comment, or at least, you know, say that she liked it. I was going through my old Facebook posts and just, you know, going back to last spring, and just, you know, every time there was her post. There it was. And then a few days ago, a post came through, just a picture of her that I think was, you know, liked by someone else. A year ago, Facebook pulls up old pictures and throws them up there. And I think it got thrown up on somebody's page, and they shared it. And this is the point where I'm thinking about, you know, cutting loose her Facebook page. And so now the guilt starts out. How can I do that? You know, someone who was so good to me. Well, it's not her page anymore. Here's the rational voice coming in again. It's not her. It's this electronic thing that has her picture and her name on it. I guess, you know, maybe it's part of me just doesn't want to finally admit that she's gone. It's easy when you're someone like me who remains so distant from everyone, even when they are gone, it doesn't feel all that much different. You know, it's easy to distance yourself from the idea that you're going to see them. I go to, when I go to the drum circle, I still wonder sometimes for a moment if Deb is going to show up. And I said, oh, well, no, I guess not. And then, of course, there was the guilt connected with the fact that I separated from those four people. I think I'd started to say this earlier. I'd separated from those other four people last year relatively easily. And does this mean that this other person means more to me than they did? I don't think so. I think what it means is I'm just not ready to let go of Deb yet. And that could be good, and that could be bad. But for whatever reason, I was ready to let go of those other people. But I'm not ready to let go of Deb. And so I started all this thing in my head about, okay, we're going to do this. It's going to be a Halloween tradition. Everybody who's gone in the year will go, and that final. It's not, life doesn't work that way. You make rules for yourself. I'm great about that. Make rules about myself. This is how I'm going to conduct myself. And then when something changes, it doesn't fit into those rules, I feel bad. Oh, I broke my rule. Well, it's not a rule. It's just something I made up. It's just me. It's not something that came from God. It's something that came from me. But if I want to say I'm not ready to let go of Deb yet, then damn it, I'm not ready to let go of her yet. And it's not going to happen. So we've come to the end of our half an hour together. I thank you for listening to me. As usual, the show blew by much too quickly. I will be with you again next week. I don't know if the show will be quite so magical or quite so deep, but there will definitely be things to talk about. And I'll be there, and I hope you will be too. Thanks once more, and have a pleasant good evening.